Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Just arriving here, I happen to use the term open-minded in relation to the people who think they're the owners of this hall. Well, according to conventional speech, we say like that. The owners, Krishna is the owner of everything, but the owners of this hall, when I was told that they like to come to this program, and even though they're not Hindus, they're open-minded. So I thought I'd speak a little bit about being open-minded. All gurus should talk about being open-minded, right? That's what gurus talk about, loving everyone and harmony and peace and sharing and compassion and being open-minded, and that's what gurus talk about. So I'm supposed to be a guru, so let's talk about being open-minded. Open your heart and fill it with love and all that kind of thing. You're not very impressed. All right, so, well, open-mindedness is needed in a multicultural society. Britain is now famous for being open-minded, not like the old Brits who went all over the world and conquered them. Now all the people they conquered have come and settled in London and in Crawley. Sorry, I thought I was in London. We didn't quite make it to London yet. So they've come here and we have to accept them as brothers and sisters and be open our hearts and be open-minded and loving and all that kind of thing. Or we can just treat everyone equally. We just ignore everyone. That's closer to what's going on in Britain today. Just ignore everyone. So, open-mindedness. Hinduism is open-minded, right? Very tolerant. You have to be when there are so many faiths. There are Shaivas and Vaishnavas and Garnapatyas and Smaratas and atheists. You can be an atheist and be a Hindu, right? You don't have to believe in anything, theoretically. All right, so everyone should be very open-minded and appreciate everyone and tolerate everyone and everything. And that's modern Britain, right? Is that how you were raised? Krishna Prashta Das, to be very open-minded. Multiculturalism. You even married an Indian wife. You even married an, well, kind of Indian. She's from Mauritius.
No, she's
a genuine Indian. From the Punjab, originally. I see. So you're very open-minded. So people in Britain are very open-minded. What about in America? Here's a former resident of Secunderabad who's now living in Orlando, which is the birthplace of Mickey Mouse, or at least his present address. One of the outstanding personalities of the 20th century and now the 21st century. And don't laugh, because you have to be open-minded. Don't hold any grudges against Mickey Mouse. Okay, you may be wondering where the Krishna consciousness is in this talk. It's coming. So people are open-minded. Well, Guru Gauranga, who lived there, he told me that the people of the southern states of America, the whites there, are still in amazement. How could all those people in the north vote for a black to be the president of the country? So they're not so very open-minded. Oh, there's a whole thing that was big in the news recently. Some black kid got shot dead, and the guy got away free. So that's not very open-minded, is it? So anyway, yeah, everyone should be open-minded, but. We'll find everyone, their mind is completely closed to the really important factors in life, which is, no, they're not closed to making money, to going on holiday in various places. So people are open-minded, but they're closed. If we tell them that the real problems of life are, what are the real problems of life? Too many Indians in this country, and Muslims, and Pakistanis, and blacks, and what happened to all the British people? That's the real problem. No, that's wrong. No, go to the back of the class. You might even go to jail for saying that. What's the real problem? Anyone? Right, okay, very good. You can go to the front of the class. Birth, death, old age and disease. If we walk up to your average open-minded British person and tell him that, my dear sir, you're wasting all of your life by not being open to the fact that you have to die. How would the average Brit respond to that? Well, by the first three words, they would have already walked past, all right? They wouldn't even listen. What do you think? Arjuna Das, British citizen, born in Siberia, was it? This time around. British people, they complain about the weather, except this summer. But it's a lot better than Siberia. So you probably have a lot more interaction with the British people than most British people do, right? Just like I live in India, but I've traveled around. I'm not from India, but I've traveled around much more of India than average Indian people. So you interact with a lot of people, distributing prasadam, going to festivals. So if you say to your average British person that the real problems of life are birth, death, old age and disease, you can't say it. Why not? People are not open-minded. What would be the average reaction? People might feel somewhat offended. They feel offended. Why is that, if they're supposed to be open-minded? You're supposed to talk about the weather. That's still a major part of British culture. You keep it light. Don't talk anything serious. There's an unspoken policy. Don't talk about politics or religion. So if we talk that birth, death, old age and disease are the real problem, that's talking about religion. It's not talking about religion, it's talking about a fact. Religion means, as people think it, a belief system. People ask us, what do you believe, isn't it? If they're a little curious, which most people aren't, they may ask, if you see us dressed like this, what do you believe? Because it's presumed that religion means some kind of belief, something vague, unprovable, unverifiable. So it's a belief. Someone believes that God sits on a cloud and throws everyone into hell, and someone else believes there's no God up there in the clouds. That's their belief. And someone believes that a prophet rode up into heaven on a horse, and other people don't believe it. So it's just, you can't prove it or disprove it. But this is not a matter of belief. It's a fact. Birth, death, old age and disease. As we were driving here, coming into Crawley, we saw a sign, road sign, to the crematorium. So I thought, well, that's the way everyone's going. That's all roads lead to where? Who knows the saying? All roads lead to where? Rome? All roads lead to the crematorium. Everyone's going that way. And if we say this, then people, they get offended. What do I want to talk about that for? Yeah, I remember once in India, I was on a train from Bombay to Udupi, Mangalore. And I was speaking to the people around me that, well, we all have to die. And they all got extremely offended. Why are you talking about that? Now you're alive, just enjoy yourselves. Well, still you have to die. And it's natural. What do you want to talk about that for? They became very offended. Because people want to be an illusion. People want to be an illusion. I said it twice, I'll say it again. People want to be an illusion because it doesn't sound correct, does it? But it's a fact. People don't like... Why should people get offended if you tell them that the real problems are birth, death, old age and disease? Why should people get offended? Especially when they've been raised on British open-mindedness. You shouldn't get upset. Should be, okay, mate. Oh, that's Australia. So, people are not open to face this because, why is that? People like to live in an illusion. If we recognize that there is birth, death, old age and disease, then how can we enjoy ourselves? How can we enjoy everything that there is to be enjoyed in this world? And then we come to the question that, well, there is nothing actually enjoyable. And people think, well, there is. What is there enjoyable? We had a great summer here. It's still going on. Temperatures go up to, even up to 90 degrees Fahrenheit or 28, 29 Celsius. Great summer. Of course, just had a terrible winter. Had a great summer. What else? What else is there to enjoy? So many things. London's just north of here. So in London, there's so many things to do that you couldn't exhaust the possibilities. So many movies to see. Of course, you can do that in your home now. You don't have to go to London, but there's so many. What is there? Theaters, concerts. You can see the River Thames. Sports, all kinds of sports events. What else can you do there? You can go to the Hare Krishna temple. I don't want to go there. What else is there? You can climb the Shard. How do you do that? You climb it like mountain climbing? People do that? Really? Bungee jumping. Once you've jumped to the top, you can bungee jump off the Shard also? Really? So I learned something. No, I don't know. I don't know. There are so many things you can do, but there's at least one major problem with all of this, and that is that you have to die. And also, you're likely to suffer on the way also. Just like you might have noticed, just to give an example, that I was struggling a bit when I was bowing down to offer obeisance. Why is that? Because 2 days ago, suddenly I got a crick in my back. And it's painful. It's not the worst thing in the world. I'm sure there are many worse things to come. But these are the kind of pains we have to go through. Now I can't climb the Shard. Not that I would have done anyway. But even if I try, I'm not in a condition right now to even think of it. Maybe it's a good thing, because I don't want to waste my time doing that for anyway. So, people are very expert at closing their minds to the really important things to do, and the really important considerations. Maybe even as devotees, we like to hear about all nice things, stories of Krishna, which is all very nice, but we also have to know that Krishna gives us the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. This is not a religious belief. It's a fact that we all have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. What are the Sanskrit words for that, anyone? Birth, death, old age and disease. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. And what is dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam? Krishna states that one major factor of knowledge is seeing the distress of birth, death, old age and disease. Anudarshanam. Anudarshanam means, anu means following and darshanam means seeing. So that means that we see through the parampara system. We don't see. We should see. We do see with our eyes, but we don't see because our mind is closed to it. So we see by hearing from authorities who teach us Bhagavad Gita. So that's called anudarshanam, following others who teach us to see what we see but we don't see. Pashyan api na pashyati. That's also stated. We see but we don't see. So we can actually see by following the parampara, the spiritual authorities. And anu means following. That also means one moment follows another. So continually see. Moment after moment we should see. We should not forget that. We shouldn't go and for our Bhakti Shastri course and then write in birth, death, old age, disease, these are the miseries, get first prize in the Bhakti Shastri course and then forget it. We should continue to see at every moment this is the suffering of this material world. So if we take Krishna consciousness as a religion, like some religion of this world, then we won't see that. We'll prefer to take the what we think are the nice parts. But the fact is that Krishna consciousness is not a religion that you can choose, but it is essential for everyone. Because we all have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. And the only solution to this, to come out of this suffering condition, is to surrender to Krishna. Mamupetya punarjanma dukhalayam ashashvatam. This in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this material world is a place of misery. Everything is temporary. Then what is that? Mamupetya punarjanma dukhalayam ashashvatam natmavanti mahatmana. The Mahatmas, they don't come back to this place of misery. So who are the Mahatmas? Mahatmanas tu mang partha, daivin prakriti maashritaha, bhajantyananya manaso, gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Those who know Krishna and who are fully engaged in his service, they are Mahatmas. So, Krishna consciousness means to love Krishna. Actually, it means, first of all, to be conscious of Krishna. But to be conscious of Krishna means to love Krishna. Well, it's also possible to be Krishna conscious and hate Krishna. There's not much in between. Either you love or you hate. And there are some who hate also. We know the history. Kamsa, Shishupal, Shalva, Jarasandha, Dantavakra. And then Krishna in other forms as Rama, Ravana. He didn't like Rama. He didn't love Rama. Rama, Kumbhakarna, two brothers, they didn't like Rama. And then Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they didn't like Vishnu, Varahadeva and Nrisimha. But the natural position of every living being is to love Krishna. So to know him is to love him. So Krishna consciousness in the natural condition means to love Krishna. But in this material world, we are a long way from that. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the knowledge of what is our actual self-interest. The knowledge of our self-interest, first we should see this condition is temporary and miserable. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. It is, well, that's in different order. Anityam ashashvatam loka. It's temporary and miserable. So we should understand this. People don't like to understand because close-minded. The mind is open to all different possibilities of sense enjoyment and also open to all different... Open-minded means we're open to people living their life the way they like according to their understanding of what makes them happy. If it makes you happy, it's okay. That's what open-mindedness means. Let people do whatever they like, as long as it doesn't harm others. That's open-mindedness, isn't it? We shouldn't try to tell anyone what to do or to try to impose on them any way of life. Let people do whatever they like as long as they don't harm others. So it sounds like a very good idea, but unless we give Krishna consciousness to others, then we are harming others. Therefore, one should not even be a parent unless one can give Krishna consciousness to one's children. One shouldn't interact with others unless one can... Actually, this verse of Rishabhdev says, unless you can free others from birth and death, don't have a relationship with anyone. That verse is there. Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, patischa sasyan, daivangna tasyan na patischa sasyan namochi adhyasamupeta mrityam. Krishna, as Rishabhdev says, don't be a guru unless you can deliver your dependents from birth and death. That means talking a lot more than simply open-mindedness. As I said at the beginning of this little talk, mostly we expect gurus to speak about be open-minded, live in harmony, don't harm others. Okay, all right. But simply talking about being open-minded does not save us from birth and death. And that is the duty of the guru, to give them knowledge by which others can be freed from birth and death. Krishna is the first guru. Krishnam vande jagat gurum. Krishna is the guru of everyone. He's a real guru. He's not a cheating guru who simply likes to make people feel happy on the mundane platform. Making people feel happy without informing them what their real necessity is simply cheating. So real guru must give the knowledge by which people can become free from birth and death. So Krishna is the real guru and teaches in Bhagavad Gita that we're suffering birth, death, old age and disease. Because if we're going to be free from birth and death, first of all, we have to understand that these are our real problems. Simply being multiculturally open-minded avoids the real problem. We're suffering birth, death, old age and disease. So Krishna informs us. Guru must inform us. Not only inform us, but he must give the process by which we can get free from birth and death. So one should not become a relative, or one should not have an intimate relationship with others unless we can deliver them from birth and death. It's a great responsibility. One shouldn't become a father or a mother. We think, unless you can deliver your children from birth and death. And you're saying, father and mother, well, their responsibility, make sure they get all their injections, make sure they go to school, and then after that they can do whatever they like. This is not parenthood, according to the Bhagavata direction. Parenthood means, yeah, you arrange, it's your duty to guide the children so that they can be free from birth and death. Daivang natasyan, one should not accept any position of honor. Just like in Vedic culture, the brahmanas, they are honored. Nowadays, in modern culture, like in British culture, you're open to everyone, but you don't honor anyone. There's no concept of honoring anyone. Offering respect to people. Well, maybe. Maybe a famous footballer would be respected. But that's ridiculous. That's just stupid. For what? Because he's expert in kicking a ball around. Who else? Anyone else respected? Who's respected? Big rock stars. Rock stars? Is that rock stars? All the famous rock stars, they're all dying off now. Huh? There must be new ones. So they're birth, death, old age and disease, folks. It happens to rock stars too. So your Rolling Stones, where are they going to roll off to next? What's their next destination? They're not thinking. They're still trying to enjoy. Foolishness. I saw some movie when I was on a plane. of the Rolling Stones tour in Canada. And they must have been, this is a few years ago. I was in Canada flying from one place to another. And there was these men, they must have been over 60 years old, and they're all little schoolgirls screaming in front of them, and they were wiggling their hips, and they're all old men. Foolishness. These people are the Rolling Stones. You all heard of the Rolling Stones, I guess, is it? You all heard of the Rolling Stones? You all heard of the Rolling Stones? Yeah, you all know. Such famous people. For what? For jumping around like monkeys on a stage. And they're still doing it. Maybe, I don't know now. So the Bhagavatam says, Svavidvara hoshtra karai sangstuta purusha pashahu nayad karna pato petas jatu nama gadagraja. People who are like hogs, you know those things people like to eat? Danish bacon, very popular in Britain. Danish bacon. I know you, all of you don't eat it, but many other people in this country. It's a staple part of British culture. You also didn't eat it, but many of the people you're working with, it's a good British breakfast, right? Bacon and eggs. Ugh! Pigs, smelly pigs. So people who are like pigs and dogs, of course in Britain the dog is also very respectable. Camels, you don't have camels here except in the zoo, I guess. And asses, you don't get many asses here anymore. There used to be, now they have tractors and cars and all this kind of thing. They don't need asses. So people who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, they give importance to, they praise people who do not praise Krishna. Who are simply wasting their life, living like pigs and dogs and camels and asses. So this is very harsh language, isn't it? It's pretty rough. I mean, if you walk up to the average person on the street and say, what do I think? I mean, are you more like a pig or a dog or a camel or an ass? Let me see now. Maybe a combination of all of them. I mean, that's not very open-minded, is it? People wouldn't appreciate that. However open-minded they are, if you just came up to them and said, well, I think you're more of a pig than a dog or a camel or an ass. If you say they're like a dog, they might think, well, that's good. In fact, once when Srila Prabhupada was in America, he was telling some students that if you're not careful, you become a dog in the next life. And one student said, well, that's okay. I don't mind becoming a dog. Srila Prabhupada said, you have my blessing. You want to be a dog? You can be a dog. So, people don't feel flattered by that. That's not good. I mean, holy, saintly people, you're supposed to make people feel good, right? You're supposed to make them feel nice and smile at them and tell them how nice they are and sing a little gentle, peaceful song and light a candle. That's important. You should always light a candle for peace. It doesn't make any difference to the peace or the violence in the world, but people feel nice if you light a candle and say, Om, and then lighting a candle for peace. And you can be on television and people will cheer you. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Meanwhile, outside there's some drunken people are beating up an old lady. But anyway, you lit a candle for peace and it makes people feel. That's what gurus are supposed to do, right? Make people feel good. And talk very gently, hold a flower. Oh, I'm wearing flowers too. Offer to Krishna. So the Bhagavatam says that people who do not have no interest in Krishna consciousness, they're just like, what it actually says is that they praise people who themselves are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So it seems very harsh, but actually it's a fact that life is very harsh. And open-mindedness is a way to being open-minded and accepting different people's ways of life and beliefs. That's one way to live in this world with a little less harshness. Instead of having continual racial riots, we can all just learn to live and let live, let it be, whisper words of wisdom, let it be, and all that kind of thing. But there's still the what should be the overwhelming fact, which we all ignore. We all have to suffer in this material world. Birth, death, old age and disease. And human life is not meant for simply tolerating other people's beliefs. You could say, well, that's better than having ongoing wars and battles and slanging matches. So, okay, all right, it's good. It's a step up from being a jerk. But it's not the point of life simply to be nice to others. Simply by being nice to others and avoiding the problems of birth, death, old age and disease, we're wasting our human life. This human life is very valuable. We got it after many, many births. We're suffering. Who can deny that we're suffering? Birth, death, old age and disease. Everyone has to suffer. Doesn't matter what your belief is. People say, what is your belief? Doesn't matter what our belief is. Whatever we believe, it is a fact that we have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. Just see our friend here looks to be suffering from a backache. Is it? Backache? Lying down there. Goddess looks like suffering from a severe backache. So what to do? You can give him a massage. That might help. I mean, we're not saying that we shouldn't be empathetic to others. We're not saying that we should just ignore all the problems of the world, but we should see that the real problem is that we have to suffer this. I mean, even if you do get free from your backache, that's good. I hope you get free from your backache. I'm also suffering from backache. But then we have to suffer another ache, this ache, that ache, broken bones. And ultimately, we all have to make a journey to the cemetery, as I was saying previously. There's a sign to the cemetery. All the roads lead to the cemetery. And then what next? And then we get born as a pig, and we become the Danish bacon on the... yeah, that's right. You eat Danish bacon and you become a... you do a service to the British people by supplying them with foodstuff. This is what happens. Actually, you can say it in a humorous way, but it's not even slightly humorous. It's terrible, horrible fact. If we look in the news, we'll see all kinds of horrible... What horrible things are going on in the world now? What? Egypt fighting. Syria fighting. India-Pakistan border fighting. Where else? London, someone's fighting. Friday night means fight. Maybe not fighting in the way that they're fighting in Egypt, but Friday night means go and drink and then some fighting. Right? Isn't it? And that's the fun. Fighting. So fighting, fight. So it's a horrible situation. Maybe we should go to the country to get some peace. But you know what's going on in the country? The insects are being eaten by the birds. The smaller birds are being eaten by the bigger birds. Just we were at this at midday, in just outside Zagreb in Croatia, that Mataji was saying that all the time the next door neighbor's cat catches the mice and different creatures and brings them onto her patio and kills them there. It's a slaughterhouse, even though she's a devotee. But her house has turned into a slaughterhouse. The cat likes to kill. The next door neighbor's cat likes to kill mice in front of her house. So that's it. The country looks peaceful, but it's full of conflict. Killing, 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 killing. All the living creatures are living in fear. Have you seen the bird? Are there any birds left after all this? You don't see many birds nowadays. Pesticides and this. Cats. Cats kill a lot of birds. And towers, what's that? Microwave, that also kills them. So I actually noticed that we were in that country area in Croatia. There's so many birds in the cities, you don't see them. We used to. In the cities also, but they're gone now. So, what was I talking about? The killing, killing, killing. Yeah, that's what we get. We have a human birth, and then we get a pig birth, dog birth, insect birth, and just one living being is killing another. The whole material world is full of violence and fear. Yeah, I was going to say about birds. We used to see the. They'll come on the grass in the morning and they'll look for a worm to pull up. So the worm is afraid of the bird, but the bird is afraid of the cat. So while the bird is looking down at the wormhole, he's also looking here and there all the time, afraid of the cat. Constant fear. That is the condition of this material world. But in human life, we try to whitewash that fear or forget it. We think we're safe. Now I got this locking system on my door. You see, people are going away. If we're telling some nice stories and jokes, they won't go away. But to hear about birth and death, who wants to hear about that? Better go home and watch the TV. This is called ignorance, foolishness. So the world is full of fear and suffering. We like to hear the birds chirping in the morning, but they're just chirping and then they'll go off and find some insects to eat. The swifts, now in the summer, swifts come to England, right? They still come here? Still see them? They're flying around all the time. What are they doing? They look very nice, isn't it? You know this bird, the swift? You all know that bird? Don't know? They look very nice, but while they're flying, they're looking for flies, little insects to eat. So, even the peacock, they look so nice, but they like to eat all kinds of insects and this and that. So this material world, it's a place of violence and suffering and fear and birth and death. We have to suffer. This point, people don't like to hear it, but we should say it. And we should say it among the society of devotees also, because we may say, well, we already know all that. I already got my Bhakti Shastri degree, and I know that. But we tend to forget it. The Maya that we embrace makes us close-minded. We get in this complacent situation of thinking, well, everything's okay. And I'm a devotee, so Krishna will look after me. But if we're not very serious about Krishna consciousness, we have to suffer. Birth, death, old age, disease. It goes on and on and on and on. Until what? What's the end of all this? Daivi yesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. This birth and death is caused by maya. It's very difficult to overcome. We can overcome it if we surrender to Krishna. Surrender means nothing left for me. No hope. I've given up all hopes of trying to enjoy this material world. Fully surrender to Krishna. No more hope. When we become hopeless, then we're in a very good situation, actually. Is this my theory? That's stated in Bhagavatam, that nairasha paramasukham. When we become hopeless, then we can attain the highest happiness. There's one anecdote of one devotee or came to or someone came to Srila Prabhupada and said, I have so many problems and I'm suffering so much. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's very good. It's very good. Now you can take to spiritual life. As long as we're thinking we can enjoy this material world, we can't make any real progress in spiritual life. As long as we're thinking there's something here for me to enjoy, we can't make any progress. So Krishna very kindly points out, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. We should see the miseries of birth and death. And if we have that kind of vision, then we can even think that a backache is Krishna's mercy. What do you think about that? The backache reminds us that, well, there are a lot more aches than that. There's a lot more suffering. Better be Krishna conscious. We should be Krishna conscious simply to love Krishna. But in the beginning, when we're simply loving our prospects for sense gratification, it's a good start. It's first gear. You have to get in. Of course, some people start in second gear, but then, especially in India, but then it doesn't go very smoothly. So it's a good start. We have to make that start. Understand this material world is miserable. Of course, we don't want to unnecessarily make the body harmed, because we have to use this body to serve Krishna also. So we don't, if there's a backache, then we can take some treatment, if there is any treatment. There's not much you can do, is there? What do you think? Do you have a regular backache? Is the doctors, they can't do much help. Maybe physiotherapists, they can help you. Is it? Are you taking physiotherapy? Yeah. Otherwise, with drugs and all this kind of thing. Sometimes they do an operation and that usually makes things worse. So we want to keep the body healthy so that we can serve Krishna. And in our neophyte state, if the body is very sick and suffering, then it's difficult for us to concentrate on chanting Hare Krishna, because if there's a lot of pain, then we become pain conscious. It's very difficult for us to be Krishna conscious if there's too much pain. Or there are different kinds of sickness. There's nausea, it's not exactly pain, but the experience of it is so overwhelming that it's difficult for us to think of Krishna. Or if we have some disease that makes us very drowsy, like hepatitis, then it's difficult for us to difficult for us to think of Krishna. So we don't deliberately try to bring suffering to ourselves, or we try to keep the body healthy so that we can serve Krishna. But we should understand that, yeah, everyone's on the road to the crematorium. But we should act in such a way that before that inevitable moment comes, which may come at any time, we say that, but it's difficult for us to imagine. Like, I'm calculating, I might have another 15 years or so of active service to Krishna in this body. Maybe. But then there's no guarantee of 15 nanoseconds. It's difficult to imagine how I could die just in this situation. But it's possible. There are many instances of people just, they're quite healthy, and then all of a sudden, boom, they just die. Without, unexpected. They just drop dead on the spot. Sometimes it happens that entertainers, they're on the stage or something, and then they just drop dead in front of others. So it can happen at any time. And certainly it will happen. What will happen? What is certain? As sure as death. Jatasya hi dhruvang mrityu. If you don't believe me, well, take it from Krishna. Krishna says, everyone who is born, they have to die. And dhruvang janma mrityasya cha. And when you die, then certainly we will get born again. What does that mean? If we die, it's certain that we'll die, and it's certain that we'll get born again. That means it's certain that we'll die again, and it's certain that we'll get born again, and again, and again, and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. It goes on and on and on. Therefore, Krishna advises us. Best advice for every conditioned soul in this material world. There's one verse which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. He would go on preaching until his last breath. This is Krishna's advice, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He emphasized it so much. Labdhvasu durlabham idam bahu sambhavante. Manusham artadam anityam api hadhira. Turnam yateta napatedanu mritya yavan nisrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. Krishna says, we have attained who Krishna is speaking to. He's speaking to Uddhava, but we can say it to any human. Now you have a human birth. If we try to speak these things to the hogs, dogs, camels and asses, what will they understand? They're also jivas. But if you say to the hog, why don't you listen to some Bhagavad Gita? There's no way for them to understand. Not the hogs or the dogs or the camels or the asses or the human beings who have the consciousness of animals. They can't hear these things. If we tell them, my dear sir, you have to suffer repeated birth and death. They don't like to hear. No, do not like to hear. They take it as an insult. Why are you telling me these things? So a human being, they can understand these things. But the human birth is attained after many, many births. Now we have it. Now we have it. This human life is temporary. Won't last very long. It won't be here very long. Child is born. Oh, some child was born recently in England. It became international news. This prince, what do they call him? George, was it? Prince George. Of course, so many other children are born. So Prince George, well, there'll be some time now. Now he's in the news for getting born, and there'll be a time when he's in the news for dying also, because princes get in the news. I didn't get in the news when I was born, and nor did any of you, probably. And when we all die, we probably won't get in. Well, I'm a little big shot in ISKCON, so I might get a few lines on Dandavats or something. Prince George, wake up. You got a human birth. We got a human birth. It won't last very long, Prince, this time. And sorry to say, but now this really might be taken as offensive, but it's a fact. If we know the laws of karma, that there's a very good chance that Prince George might in his next birth be a hog, a dog, a camel or an ass, because that's what happens to most people. In the modern age, because they live like animals, they get born as animals. But now we have the human birth and we can think about these things, therefore we should do so. This I'm explaining this verse. We should try to understand this. This human life doesn't last long. The only thing we can say for sure is that it won't last. And we can also say that we'll get born again. This body won't last. Now we have it. Therefore, we should do whatever in this human life, we should do whatever is required so that we don't get born again. And as far as sense enjoyment is concerned, what is this sense enjoyment? Why don't we like to hear about birth, death, old age and disease? Because we want sense enjoyment. Let me enjoy eating, sleeping, mating, fighting, watching TV, going to football games, reading the Daily Mail, and what else? Internet, movies, soccer, concerts, holidays, sunbathing. There's so many things to do, but sense gratification is available in every birth. Human life is meant for God realization, for getting free from birth and death. So we should tell people this. You all know this. Whatever I've said this evening, I hope you've already heard it all before. Is it? Nothing new for any of you. Did I say anything new? No. Nothing new. So we should tell others. People don't know. People think we're born and then we die. No, they don't think we die. They know, but we think, well, after death, everything is finished. So if at all they think about it, they think, well, then everything's finished. So enjoy while you can. This is foolishness. We should inform people that there is rebirth, there is suffering, and there's escape from all of this. There is eternal happy life. We're meant for happy life. Why are you trying to be happy in London or Crawley? Where the best thing that ever happened in Crawley is that they had a sunny summer. Anything else happen ever? Planes come over all the time. Do the planes from Gatwick come over here? Or they don't fly over the town? I shouldn't ask you. Who lives there? Most of you all live. The planes come over the town? No. When I was a kid, 7 years old or so, living in Slough, which is just west of Heathrow Airport, every 5 minutes a jet taking off, headed for America, would come over the house. The whole house would shake. And even if you shout at someone standing in front of you, they can't hear you. I guess. But at Heathrow, where can they go? Because maybe they don't fly them over Slough. I don't know now, but I was thinking. They fly them in over the fields, and all the hogs in the fields, they're all suffering, and not the people, not the hogs in Crawley. But no, they don't keep hogs in fields anymore. They're all inside, right? Suffering, so much suffering. So we should give this knowledge to others, and we should be aware of it, not just theoretically. We should be aware that we should be damn serious about Krishna consciousness. This suffering life, we have to suffer. Everyone is suffering. So much suffering. If we can get a little relief from suffering, we think, oh, now everything is nice. Now is the opportunity to get free from birth and death by taking up Krishna consciousness. So we should open our mind to this reality. This is not a belief. It's reality that we're all suffering in this material world. And try to open others' minds to this also. People are very expert at closing their mind to the reality of the suffering of birth and death in this material world. It's extreme foolishness, isn't it? Isn't it extreme foolishness? That everyone is just avoiding. They'll have all conferences, peace conferences, interfaith conferences. But what are the real problems that we're all facing? They say, well, ecological imbalance. That's not the problem. That is a serious problem as far as this planet's concerned. But even if there is ecological balance restored, which seems highly unlikely, still we have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. And actually, if we become cognizant of this, that will solve all the ecological problems, economic problems, all problems. Because if we live our life for the real purpose, which is to get free from birth and death, which means that we should worship Krishna, surrender to Krishna, then we won't be chasing after economic development for sense gratification. All problems of the earth will be solved. Because the only real problem is that we don't know what our problem is. We've closed our mind to it. So please try to inform others of this also. Spread this to others. Let people know that we are suffering in this world. We have to become cognizant of this. And it's not enough to say, it's not a Hindu belief or a Buddhist belief. Most Hindus, they don't believe it, from what I can see. They don't believe in birth and death, theoretically. But practically, everyone's living their life as if the purpose of life is to watch TV and go to the movies. And people are not interested in understanding these important facts. There's nothing as important in comparison to this. We have to die. How can we get free from that? We have to get born again. We have to suffer again. How can we get free from that? That is the beginning of spiritual knowledge, which Krishna teaches us in Bhagavad Gita. From this understanding, our spiritual knowledge, our spiritual quest can develop. So, I hope all of our minds have become more open. We become more open-minded. The gurus are supposed to make people more open-minded. So I hope all our minds are more open now. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comments, protests, questions, or any such things? Any open-minded questions? Open-ended questions? Close-minded questions, any such thing. Close-mindedness means we don't ask questions. We already know. We think we already know. Anything? Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!